to see you as the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. Amen. In my something-something years of being a priest, I have had the great fortune of talking to people in my office whose spouse has gone into the hospital or who has gone into their great reward, who has, you know, been bereft of them. And I said to the spouse, I said, tell me about her or him. And 9 times out of 10, most of the things that they've said was, he's the salt of the earth, or she was the salt of the earth. And I pondered that for a decade and said, what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Because Jesus said, salt is an important thing. We are the salt of the earth. But he also adds an admonition. He says, if salt has lost its saltiness, then what good is it to anyone? Let it be cast out into the street and let it be trampled underfoot. And it's kind of a harsh thing, isn't it? Unless you understand what it meant to be salt in first century Palestine. Sorry, here's another history lesson. Short. Salt in Palestine was gypsum. It had calcium chloride in it. It was a little salty, but if it stayed on the shelf too long, it got flat. It didn't have saltiness anymore. It didn't have any taste, and it was literally thrown out into the street, and then with the rain, it actually made pavement. Think plasterboard. Jesus said all of these things and made his followers extremely anxious. Love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Bless those who revile you. He turns the world upside down. He is asking questions that people don't want to hear and let alone don't want to answer. He is doing things that turn people into themselves and say, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? What is this guy saying? How can he possibly be the voice of God? Because everything he says runs contrary to how we have been living and how we've been, you know, doing our lives, and everything is now turned upside down. We don't know really what to do. And Jesus said, follow me. Follow into that uncertainty. Jesus said, I know you don't know the path, but you have the law and you have the prophets and you have the teachings of God. Trust in God to go forward. I am not Jesus. I have come here from a place that you do not know, like Jesus, this town, and I have asked you questions, and I have turned maybe your world a little bit upside down. I have been tasked to ask questions. I have been tasked to say to you, so tell me about this. And I'm sure everyone in this room has heard me say, so tell me about the blah or the, you know, how do you do that? It's the same thing with Jesus and his disciples. He keeps asking questions and they don't know what's going on. The thing is, he is asking questions so that they may give him the answers, not for themselves, but for God and for eternal life, that they may have the answers that will lead them into a different place, that will lead them into a place of fulfillment and to of goodness and to a place that they would not have imagined before. As many of you know, I have a blog on the webpage, and I have shared with you my dream. I do not get dreams very often, and quite frankly, when people come into my office and they say, I want to sit down and talk to you because God talked to me, I say, yeah, well, okay. That's good. Yep. So I am very, very apprehensive when these things happen, and particularly when they happen to me. But, as is often the case, God has other plans. And he sent me a vision. And he sent me a dream. And he sent me something that I feel compelled today to say to you, the salt of the earth. Because the salt of the earth here, I don't know how you say it in Michigan, but in Jersey, we say it as a mensch. It's a guy. It's the one you can count on. It's the one you can hear and, you know, listen to and, you know, be honest and faithful and really good to. You're a mensch. I'm saying this to you as a mensch. We are the salt of the earth. And I feel compelled to share my vision dream with you. I was in a garden. I was in a place where I had been but had not visited very often, and my wife and I had just gotten settled and it was great and we were happy. And I was shown this garden. And it was the middle of May. It was May 15th, actually, he said. And there on the vine were ripe tomatoes. You get ripe tomatoes in Michigan? No. Ripe peppers. Golden squash. Eggplant. This garden overfilling with wonderful produce and fruit. And he said to me, look. And I saw it. And I said, how did this come here? And he said, all of these seeds were dropped last year. And the seeds sprouted. And they became the plants that you see. And there was onions and Swiss chard and spinach and peas and broccoli. It was just amazing. All of this huge garden. And everything was well tended. There were no weeds. Everything was mulched. Everything was taken care of. And I felt the sun on my face and I was happy. I was a happy person because I had been shown this garden and it was mine. It was the garden that I had to tend and I didn't have to weed it or plant it or to do any kind of stuff for it. It just grew on its own. Sisters and brothers, you are the garden. I have been called here as your person. I have been called here to help you, but you have already planted the seeds. You have already done the good work, planting the garden, making sure that everything was well in order. When I first got here, I was kind of accosted, not really accosted, but, you know, in a Michigan way accosted. So, Father, I'm not really sure why you're here. I'm here to help you. I'm here not as your weeder, not as the one to pull up, not as the one even to plan or to say, you know, do this, not do that, because all the seeds that you have sown are planted and they are growing out of season, out of time. You are growing tomatoes in February, and it's great. You are the garden that I am tending, not weeding, not deciding, but I am looking for you to grow the growth. I am looking to you to be the growth of this garden. I'm here to watch, to stand over, to tend, to fertilize, to cajole, to water, to be, well, you know, maybe we ought to put the vine over here. When some have said to me, you know, being an interim is kind of a waste of time. It's kind of a place that we don't really want to be. We don't really want to do this. Can we just get on with it? And didn't Jesus' followers say that too? He said, I've not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill. I have come not to plant a new garden, but to make the garden that you have more prosperous. Not one stroke, not one dot of a letter of the law will be gotten out. I am here to grow your garden. And I'm here to grow St. Michael's. And I'm here to be with you as you do that. Unfortunately, you are the onions. You're the garlic, you're the peas, you're the Swiss chard, you're the tomatoes, you're the eggplant, you're everything else. You are that growth that comes here. The embodiment of God and his power through sun and wind and water to feed and to grow. I am here to tend you. So, let us this day, salt of the earth, as we all are, let us grow and prosper this place as God has intended. Amen.